Shalom Aleichem Rabosai. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Chaf Vav. We are holding at the bottom of Chaf Hei Mabez, the third two dots from the bottom, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a little bit of Ashkafa here. Ezu Ashir, who is someone who is wealthy? So we're familiar with Hasamech Bechelko in Pirkei Avos, but here Rabbi Meir says it a little differently. Kol Sheishlo Nachas Ruach Be'oshro, someone who has Nachas Ruach from his wealth. And Rashi explains it's exactly the same thing. Samech bechelko, imrav immaat, immaat imrav, whether he has a lot, if he has a little, a person who is happy with what he has, that's someone who is truly wealthy. Again, because Chazal all over the place, you know, point out how unattainable happiness is through wealth, unlike the Western world, which kind of assumes that, you know, wealth and happiness go hand in hand. Chazal is full of statements that prove that it's not true. Rabbi Tarfon is going to say another one. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, who is someone who is wealthy? Kol sheyesh lo kuf kramu umeya sados kuf avadim she'ovdim bahem. Anybody who has 100 vineyards and 100 fields and 100 servants working in the fields. Meaning, it's just, he gives an astronomical amount of wealth that a person basically will never be able to attain. So a person will never be happy, if he's truly looking for that type of wealth. But rather, Samech Bechalko, that's the goal. That person should find his place in this world. That no two people have, you know, the same mission in life. And no two people are created the same. No two people have the same goal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from them. And therefore, a person should be happy with his lot, because your neshama wasn't put in someone else's guf for a reason. Right? Your neshama was in your neshama, is in your guf, for a specific reason, and you should, you know, the goal is to be Samech Bechalko and be try and attain and live the greatest life that you can with the kalim and the tools and the skills and the talents that God gave you. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, who is wealthy? A different vort. Kol sheyesh lo isha noa b'maisim. If you have a wife who is very beautiful in her actions, you have a big tzaddikas. Right? The Gemara is full. It has a couple of places about the tzidkus, the righteousness of Rabbi Kiva's wife. And so perhaps he was speaking from experience. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol sheyesh lo beis hakiseh samach l'shulchano, anybody who has a bathroom near his table. I have already talked about a couple weeks ago, Maseches Brachos, about how good it is to have a bathroom available to a person, either who's traveling, etc. So that's what Rabbi Yossi himself, Mistama Rabbi Yossi, also felt that was a measure of wealth. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Okay, fine. That's Adkan the Hashkafa portion of the daf. Okay, Tani, we'll end the Braisa. Back to we've been talking about things that you can light with or you can't light with on Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, in mandikin betzari, you're not allowed to light with tzari. Now we've been talking about things that either smell bad or you were concerned that you're going to try that, you know, they don't light the fire as good, so you're going to tilt the lamp and try and get the fire to burn a little better. So now we have the opposite. Tzari is balsam. And balsam is both, as Gemara is going to point out, smells good and is very flammable. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, in Malik Mitzari, you're not allowed to light Shabbos candles with balsam. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rabba mitok sharecho ra, no deif. Sorry, not recho ra, if I need you. Mitok sharecho no deif, since it smells good. Gzera Shami is stopping me, man. The Gzera here is not that you'll tilt the lamp to light the fire better, but that maybe you'll take some of the fragrance out of the jug or out of the, you know, the lamp or whatever it is that you're using. And that is not, that's not Havara, that's not kindling, that's the opposite. That's Mechabe, that's extinguishing. Right? When you take away a fuel source, so that's the concern here. Amar le Abaye, Abaye said, Terava lemamar mipnei shu'af. Why don't you say that, you know, tzari, this balsam is no good because it's flammable. Right? It's very, very dangerous. So the Gemara says, Chareveu kamar. No. Yeah, both of them are true. Right? Chareveu shim shu'af. On one hand, first of all, because it's, you know, it's dangerous. Not an issue of Hilchos Shabbos, but it's sakana issue. And the other, Gzera shem yistabek menu. Because maybe you will come to take some of it, and then you'll be violate the malacha of kibui, which is extinguishing. So both mitzad sakana and mishum hilcha Shabbos, so we don't want you lighting with balsam on Shabbos. Pretty crazy story. Ahi chamasa, there was a mother-in-law. Dehava sniya lalakalasa. She hated her daughter-in-law. Gemara has this a couple places about the machlokes in between the mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law. And this got a little extreme. Amar la, so she said to her, Zil ikoshit b'mishcha de'afarsima. Go kind of like use this afarsima, which was balsam, as a perfume. Thank you. I'm just missing the word. Go use this balsam as perfume. Ozla ikshit, so she went and she put it on herself. And then kiasa, when she came back, so amrala, so the mother-in-law said to her, zil asli lishraga. So go bring me a light. Go bring me some, you know, a lamp, so I can see, I guess it was nighttime. So ozla asli lishraga, she went and lit a lamp, and inpach ba nura v'achalta. And the fire, kind of, because she was wearing this flammable substance, so I guess the candle got too close to her, and it was on her clothes or whatever, and she burned. The fire kind of lit her on fire, and her mother-in-law did her in. Anyway, terrible story, but back to Hilchos Shabbos. Pasuk says, just a little bit, I got it there quickly. Umidalos ha'aretz yishir nivuz harada n'rav tabachem l'kormim lo yogvim. It's a reference to this balsam. Nivuzaradon, who was Nebuchadnezzar's chief general, or I guess Sar Rav Tabachim, I guess calls him Sar Tabachim, Potiphar. So he was the executioner, actually. He left in Eretz Yisrael after the Gullus. He left Kormim and Yogvim. So Gemara says Kormim, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says Kormim is Elu Malakte Afar Simon. These people who gather balsam from Ein Gedi to a place called Ramasa. And Yogvim are Elud Saide Chilozon. This is referring to the people who trap the Chilozon, Misulamos, Shel Tzur, Ve'al Haifa, from the high places in Tzur until Haifa. So basically, just a reference to balsam in the Navi. Okay, turn around. Ein Malikin B'Tevel Tamei B'Chol. You're not allowed to light. Tevel tami. Tevel, again, is produce that has not yet been taken from it, that has not had truma and miser, etc., taken from it. In English, they say call it the untithed grain, but basically it's you've already reaped it, but you haven't yet taken trumas and misers. So tevel is also, you're not allowed to eat that. If you eat that, bad things. It's very, very, even kohanim, even levium, right? They're not allowed to, you're not allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to use it, you're not allowed to benefit from it. And that's what the Gemara says here. Ein malikin betevel tamei b'chol. You can't even burn it on the weekday. Vein tzarech lomar b'Shabbos, and certainly you can't use it on Shabbos. Kayot zibo similarly, ein malikin beneft lavan b'chol. You're also not allowed to use this neft lavan, this white neft. I don't know what that is. And ein tzarech lomar b'Shabbos. The Gemara says, Bishlam, I understand the reason for neft lavan mipnei shu'af, because it's very flammable. And we said before that it's right to sakana. A tevel tamei, my taima. But why can't you use tevel that's tamei to burn? If your tevel for whatever reason became tamei, why can't you burn that? So the Gemara says, "I'm a crow." The pasuk says, "Vani hinei nasati lechas mishmeres trumosai." I have given you. We had this before. I have given you to watch over both of my trumos. Right? Trumosai is plural. B'shtei trumos akasim adaver. By two types of truma. What are those two types? Achas truma tahora, achas truma tameya. You have to make sure, you have to watch over truma tahora and truma tameya. My truma tahora in lecha ba ela b'shas harama. Just like truma tahora, you're only allowed to use after, after you separate it. Right? You're not allowed to use it when it is gathered. When you take it, then that's when you're allowed to use it. B'shas harama ve'elach. From after you separate it, that's when it's mutter. So af truma tameya, so do truma tameya. You're only allowed to use and burn truma tameya. Right? We said you are allowed to burn truma tameya, b'chol, but not tevel tameya, because you're not allowed to use it until you separate the trumos and maestros. Okay. Gufo, let's go back to something we said earlier. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Ein Malikin Mitzari. You're not allowed to light this balsam stuff on Shabbos. V'chein hayah Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Mitzari, Eino, Ela Straf, Me'atzei HaKataf. Balsam is the sap from the balsam trees. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel says, Kol ha'yotzei min ha'etz ein malikin bo. Anything that comes out of a tree, right, either sap, or, you know, we had before this kind of soft stuff between the bark. So you're not allowed to light, you're not allowed to use that for Shabbos candles. Rabbi Shmuel ben Baruch Omer, ein malikin ela b'yotzei min ha'pri. You're only allowed to you're only allowed to light with something that comes out of a fruit. Before you start thinking, apple juice is not flammable, so obviously olive oil comes from a fruit. So olive oil, olives, that's one example of something that comes from a fruit, and that's what's mutter to be used. Again, that would exclude stuff we've mentioned before, like, you know, melted fish. We said that before. Okay, fine. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Rabbi Tarfon says, in Madlikin Ela B'Shem Zayis Bilvad. Rabbi Tarfon narrows it even further, right? And this is what we've had before, that you can only light Shabbos candles with Shem and Zayis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri al Raglav, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri got up and said, Amar Ma Yasu Anshei Bavel She'in Lahem Ela Shabbos Shem Shemin. What are the people in Bavel going to do? They don't have olive oil. They only have sesame oil. Uma Yasu Anshei Madai. What about the Median, the Jews in Madai? She'in Lahem Ela Shemin Agosin. The only oil they have is nut oil. Uma Yasu Anshei Alexandria She'in Lahem Ela Shemin Sonos. The people in Alexandria only have this radish oil. If you're noticing, these are the things we mentioned before that are mutter to be used. Umayasu anshe kapotkia she'in lahem lokach v'lokach. Excuse me, they have nothing, none of this stuff. Ella, neft, that's the only thing they have is this neft. We said it doesn't smell so good, but we only have neft. Ella, in lecha, ella masham lecha chamim in madlikin. Right? Rather, he says the only thing that you're not allowed to not light with, i.e., the only thing that's also to light with, is the list we had from the chachamim. And you're allowed to light even with fish oil and this itron. Again, we said that bad smelling stuff. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri says, "My likim b'shemen pakuos uveneft." You're even allowed to light with this gourd oil and with neft. Sukhos Amar Sukhos says, "Kol yotzim in abasar ema likim bo ela b'shemen dagim." And Rabbi Sukhos says, "The only thing you're allowed to light with that comes out of flesh is this fish oil that we already mentioned." And as Gemara says, "Sumchos hanatanakama." We already mentioned that you're allowed to light with fish oil. Sumchos seems to be the same opinion as the Tanakama. As the Gemara says, "Ikipeinayu." You have a difference between the two opinions. There are Brona Marav, the same shita that we said before. Brona Marav, who allows you to mix no good oil and good oil. So here, that would be an afkamina between the two cases. Sumchos or the Tanakama, one of them would hold its mutter, one of them would hold its aser to mix some good oil and some bad oil. And the Gemara says, similarly, like we said before, Veloma Saime, but it's not clear who would say what. Okay. Now, the Gemara now shifts gears a little bit, and we're going to get a couple of blot of Tum and Tara. Since we mentioned Kol HaYotzeh Min HaEitz, we're kind of like jumping out of here. We're Kol HaYotzeh Min HaEitz, we said before, in Likin Bo. So Gemara now transitions a little bit and says like this: Tani, we learned in a brisa or a Tosefta. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, "Kol ayotzi min ha'etz ein bo mishum shalosh al shalosh." Anything that comes out of a tree, you don't have 3x3. What's 3x3? So Rashi writes that you can be mekabel tuma. The Mishnayos and Kalim talk about the shear for begadim, for clothing, to become tameh. And the minimum shear, in some instances, or we'll see on other bays, is 3x3 etzbos. 3x3 fingers worth, finger breaths. Now, it's important to notice, shalosh al shalosh is nekeva, and etzba is nekeva, so whenever the Gemara is going to say shalosh al shalosh, that's referring to fingers, etzbaot. But shlosha al shlosha, with a hay, which is zachar, that's going to be referring to the size of tefachim. That's by 3x3 tefachim. Again, a finger's breadth is, I guess, you know, if you hold out three fingers, so what is it? Well, you know, maybe 3 inches. So that's 3x3. Three tefachim, a tefach is already a fist size, so that's already much bigger. 3x3, a fist, a tefach, you'll see. So basically like this. When Shimon ben Elazar says, anything that comes out of a tree is not susceptible to this Tuma, it's not one of the begadim that can become tamei. We're going to see on Amud Beis that tsemer upishtim, wool and linen, is mentioned specifically in the Chumash as being able to be mekabel tamei, mekabel tuma. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that clothing made from trees, from ha'etz, anything that comes out of a tree, is not susceptible to tuma. And when it says a 3x3, that's just like that's the minimum shear, but really it's not susceptible to tuma. Umisach en bo, and anything that comes out of a tree you're allowed to use for schach, right? We obviously, right, since enum a kabel tuma, right, that's, and chutz min pishtan, except for pishtan. This is what we're going to mention later, that this flax that turns into linen, so that's an exception to the rule. So, okay. Rabbi says, football on the base, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Vitana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel said the same halacha. Well, what's that? So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had Amran. That's what we just mentioned, that anything that comes out of a tree, right, is not going to become tame by, even if it has 3x3 etzbos, which is usually the minimum share. Tana be Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael Mahi. So what's the statement of Rabbi Yishmael? Vitani, like we learned in usually a Mishnah, quotes Yevamos and Menachos, but could be a Bryce as well. Tani debe Rabbi Yishmael, hol the nemru begodim b'Torah stam. Since usually the Torah, when it refers to begodim, when Rashi explains, like Tumas Shratzim or Tumas Shechvazera, just says begodim can become tamei, and it doesn't explain what type of begodim, it doesn't explain what type of clothes. Uparat lecha hakasav be'echad mehem, tsemru upishtin, but by tsaras, by negayim, it does say specifically, tsemru upishtin, wool and linen. So therefore, ma'alahalan tsemru upishtin, af called tsemru upishtin. So therefore, the only thing, only clothing that can that is able to become tameh is clothing made from wool and linen. Well, that's exactly what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, that clothing that come from trees, is not susceptible to Toma, except for Pishtan, which is this Pishtim. That's the same thing. Excuse me. Rava says, Shlosha al Shlosha b'shar begodim ika b'nayu. Rava says, no, they're not agreeing, necessarily, that there's a difference between the two halachas, that three tvachim, by other begodim, yeah, by other types of begodim, not tsemer pishtim, is a difference, is subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Shmuel. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar isle, and the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel lesle. The Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is going to say that no, 3x3 tefachim by other clothing there is tuma, and Tanya Rabbi Shmuel is going to hold that there is no tuma outside of semer upishtim by clothing. Okay, so the Gemara says l'tkuli amamihas. However, everybody agrees that shalosh al shalosh b'tzemer upishtim b'tame b'negayim. Right, that's a pasuk. Right, everybody agrees that, and the minimum shear. Right, the pasuk says that wool and linen can become tame clothing, and the minimum shear is 3x3. Is 3 etzbos by 3 etzbos. So the Gemara says minalan. How do you know? Where do you know that from? D'tanya, like we learned in a brisa, beged. Pasuk says beged by tzaras. There it says the word beged. In the ela beged shalosh al shalosh, that tells me a beged, a complete beged, right? In the ela beged, that only tells me that a complete beged can become tamei. Shalosh al shalosh minayin. How do you know that even something that's 3x3, right? It's just like a patch, right? If you imagine 3x3, put that down on the Gemara right now. Right? Extend 3 fingers and cross 3 fingers across that. So it's literally the size of a patch. How do you know that something that size can also be mekabel tuma, as opposed to a beged, which would seem to imply an entire garment, shirt, pants, whatever? Excuse me. So Talmud Lomer veha beged. So the pasuk says veha beged and the clothing. So you see that's an inclusion that will include a 3x3 garment, 3x3 etzbos, to be mekabel tuma if it's tzemer or pishtin. The Ema, so why did you teach me that? Ema, why didn't you say that Larabos, that it should include Shlosha al Shlosha? It should include not a 3x3 fingers breadth, but 3x3 tefachim, 3x3 hands breadth. Now, if you put, again, if you line up 3/5 across the side, that's already a much bigger piece of cloth. That's already something you can use for, I don't know, to wrap around your wrist, or maybe as a handkerchief, or maybe to wrap around your face, right? We all have masks on the brain, right? So maybe you can use, you know, that's a much bigger size of clothing. So the Gemara says, why don't we include that? And the Gemara is going to point out that that's accepted, you know, that's a piece of clothing that everybody uses. Gemara is about to say that certain, you know, rich people and poor people use different sizes, perhaps. And maybe poor people have more of a use for a very, very small piece of cloth. But everybody uses a 3x3 tefachim piece of cloth that's useful for everybody. So why don't we include that size? Why don't we make that the minimum shear to be mekabel tuma by tzemer upishtin? Why do we go so far as to say that 3 fingers breadth, that's going to be mekabel tuma? So the Gemara says, lav kal v'chomer hu. Must be a Kal Vachomer. That meaning you could already include the 3x3 in a tefachim in a Kal Vachomer, by a Kal Vachomer. What's the Kal Vachomer? Hashtashti ve'erev mitamei. The pasuk tells me that the shi and the erev, which are basically strings, if I understand this correctly, if they are strings of linen, of cloth, waiting to be made into usable pieces of cloth, meaning they're kind of like strings of fiber waiting to be turned into fabric. So the pasuk says specifically that those things can become tamei. Yeah, the pasuk says that's the hemshek of the pasuk. So if those to become tamei, so shlosha al shlosha mibaya, certainly something that's three tefachim by three tefachim will also certainly be able to become tamei. So you don't need to include it by a pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi, if that's true, wait a minute, you skipped a size, right? There's the fabric, the strings that are ready to become tamei. That the pasuk says that the fabric, the strings that are ready to become fabric, that the pasuk says straight up they become tamei. You have 3x3 etzbaos and 3x3 tefachim. So you're telling me that if the little strings and the fabric, the ready to become fabric, are certainly going to become tamei, certainly the 3x3 tefachim are able to become tamei. Well, what about the shear in the middle? What about the 3x3 etzbos? That's what Gemara asks. Yehachi, shalosh, shalosh, nami, lesi, be kavachomer. You could also learn 3x3 etzbos is also logical. You could just learn that from the kavachomer. Elo, so the Gemara says a different reason. Shlosh, shalosh, the chazu bein ashirim le'aniyim. No, the Kal Vachomer only works for a piece of cloth that's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, because that's fit for rich people and for poor people. Meaning everybody has a use or a potential use of a cloth of some sort of beged that's 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. But shalosh al shalosh, but the 3x3 patch, so that's la'anim hu dechazion, la'ashirim lo dechazion. That's only fit for use by poor people, and lo asi. And that will not be able to be learned by a Kal Vachomer. Meaning, you might have thought that what is able to be used by everybody, right? The little strands, right, the shasi and the erev that are about to become more usable pieces of fabric, so that's usable by everybody. 3x3 tefachim is also usable by everybody, so that lines up. But 3x3 fingers, 3x3 etzbos, you can not only is that only usable for poor people, you can also no longer turn it into something bigger, right? When you have the strands of fiber ready to become big clothing, so that's usable by everybody because you can make that as big as a beged as you want. But you're kind of stuck in the middle with the 3x3 etzbos because that now you're stuck with a piece of cloth that's only shaykh to poor people, and therefore you can't learn that. That's not as fit to be learned from the Kal Vachomer, and therefore we need the pasuk to teach me that 3x3 etzbos can become tamei. So the Gemara says, "Time of the kasvei kro." So the reason that it can become tamei is because the pasuk said vehabegen halo kasvei kro lo gamrina be Kal Vachomer. That's the end of it. Sorry. And if we would not have had the pasuk, you would not have been able to use the Kal Vachomer to learn it out. Okay. Well, the Gemara persists, though, and it says, "Ve'ema l'rabos shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim." Maybe you should use that drasha to teach me that just like tzemer and pishtim can become tamei, so 3x3 tefachim by any other types of clothing can also become tamei. So why don't we learn that out? So Gemara says, "Amar kra beged tzemeru pishtim," right? Because the pasuk says specifically, very clear, "Beged tzemeru pishtim in midi achrinino lo." Even only tzemer and pishtim, only woolen flax, woolen linen, well, flax turns into linen, but only woolen linen is going to be mekabel tamei and nothing else. V'ema ki imayit mishalosh al shalosh, aval shlosh al shlosh mitamei. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If you're going to tell me that it's going to exclude 3x3, right, 3x3 etzbos, right, from being mekabel tamei, meaning, therefore you need a pasuk, maybe you should teach me that 3x3 tefachim can be kam tamei. Meaning, why don't you say that by wool and linen, by tzemer and pishtan, that excludes other begadim from 3x3 etzbos. But by 3x3 tefachim, maybe you can include other begadim that are not made from wool and linen. So Gemara says, "Trei miut iksivi." Really, no, we have two psukim that exclude other clothes from being susceptible to tzoma. The pasuk says, "Beged semer all the beged pishnim." So you have both. Chadamute shalosh al shalosh, chadamute shalosh al shalosha. One will exclude other clothing that are 3x3 etzbaos, and one will exclude other clothing that are 3x3 tfachim. Okay, we're going to stop here because this goes on for a bit, and there's really no. I think this is the first really daf that I kind of, you know, that we learned since the beginning of the cycle, that really kind of really actually leaves off smack dab in the middle. There's no real way to kind of like go onto the next amud and find a good resting spot or a good stopping place. So we will stop here, and Mitzvah Hashem will try and give enough backstory so we can dive into the Gemara again tomorrow. Okay, Rabosei, have a great night.